The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Good evening. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder here in News Talk, coming to you live from our Republic of Work studios in Cork City Centre and a short hop away from RTE's TV studios here in Cork. Dathi O'Shea has made the journey. Dathi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you keeping?
I'm not sure. You're welcome to the sweatbox.
It's not.
I know. It's like Bikram radio presenting.
It's good though. Like, you could drop a few pounds in here, no problem. Like,
I know. It's kind of, I'm at that kind of, it's like, remember when you're in secondary school, no one would have showers
after
PE, and you just lash on a load of deodorant.
Yeah, and then
that
you start,
kind of musky smell.
You start dozing off in the second last class before you get to go home because there was no window ever opened or anything.
It does. It does. The experience like that, it makes me pity those teachers who had to go into those classes in the afternoon, some whiff off them. Tell me, how are things going?
Things are going well. Yeah, we're finished here in Cork for the season on Friday, so season 10 will be in the can. So looking forward to about a week off, and then I've two other projects for TG Carr that I do every summer. One is based on the Flag Hill, and then I do a 20 part sit down one on one that I challenge Shane Coleman to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going off. He's okay Irish, pretty good Irish, I think.
Oh, he's decent Irish.
Yeah. He does. So I set a challenge on the radio one morning, so he's after taking the challenge, so that's going to happen in July, so I can't wait to get him into the chair, you know.
Oh yeah, it'll be good fun. Look forward to that. 10 seasons you've got under the belt. I mean, tell me about that, because the afternoon slot on RT, it was a tough nut to crack for them for a while. There was a few different iterations until they settled on ye.
Because like I say, I started in the afternoon with Claire Bourne on a show called The Daily Show, and that was 2010. We were there for two seasons, and then I got a call from the boss one day, would you go to Cork for a few months? I said, yeah, 100%. No, I didn't realise it was 120 months he was talking about. So yeah, and like even our own show, like say, has changed in the last couple of years as well. Like, particularly with COVID, because we were trying to stay away from that, but at the same time say, well, these are the figures and this is what's happening, and moving on. More people were at home during COVID as well. So we really lightened up the show. So I think really, like, in the last couple of years, we've really hit our stride, and it takes a good amount of time to hit your stride and to find out what people want as well. And that is ever changing, as you know. No more than this show, you find out things work and things don't work. But we have a very light show. It's a kind of a fun place to be in the afternoon, and we've been there for 10 years.
Yeah, you never get it right. That's the point, I think.
Well,
isn't
that's
it?
The thing. Well, I suppose you have the backbone of the whole thing, that it's a happy place, and that, like I say, nobody wants to see me with a puss in my face in the afternoon. They want you to be there and to be happy and to go with it. So that's part of it. And then I suppose you get items that you're interested in as well, and if you're interested, you bring people at home with you. Like, we do this thing called the 50-50 quiz every day, where we randomly call someone and they give them a load of prizes. It almost always goes wrong, and that's what people love. You're going, so the whole thing of having egg in your face, going, yeah, who cares, lads, this is a bit of fun, it's live TV.
Yeah, well, isn't it true, and we often say it on this show as well, we don't want to get into too much kind of navel gazing in terms of the kind of, you know, the media talking to each other, but sometimes it doesn't matter what a guest is talking about if they are interesting, and if they're interested in what they're talking about, it's engaging.
It certainly is, like, and that's the key to the whole thing. And like say, we do 5 shows a week. We do 2.25 hours every day. So to try to get that content going as well, look, the cookery part is there, and the fashion, they're all there as well. But you're picking up day stories. You're looking at trying to get quirky angles and certain things, and that's the fun of it then as well. Like, you know. So, and I suppose that's the trick, to keep that going all the time.
I mean, given that level of workload and given the need to keep the interest up for that amount of time every day, I'm sure you're fit as a fiddle going in. You'd never be under the weather going into work or anything. You'd take care of yourself. You'd be in bed early.
But this sounds very, very sad. Like, I go to bed around 9 o'clock most nights.
Most nights.
Bar last night, no, it was an exception.
Oh,
I was here in Cork.
What happened?
So I went, Sinead, Kennedy, myself, and one or two others went for a bit of food, and we had a few drinks after.
And what happened then?
So I don't know. We had a good time. We were dancing and moving and shaking, which made today's
after broadcast. 9 o'clock?
After 9 o'clock, yeah, for once. But I do try to keep myself fit enough, because, like, I sit in a car for 4 hours a day, and I sit in the studio for the rest of it. And if I'm not doing that, I'm lying in bed.
Yeah.
So I need to get my behind moving, and like the Rose of Tralee gives me that opportunity every year where I'd probably drop a stone for it, and going down there match fit, blades sharpened, and let's go for it.
How do you do it? What do you do to lose the stone?
I start eating properly, which is a very hard thing to do when you're in the car all the time.
Yes.
So that's kind of gone, which makes it a bit easier. Then, like, I will go to the gym in the morning and go up for a fast walk for an hour and a half maybe in the evening, and I'll do that every day for around 6 or 7 or 8 weeks.
I have a very much a routine in the car when it comes to eating. When I get to Loughlin Bridge, I have a bit of fruit. When I get to about Tin Ryland, the fruit is gone, and then I'll start the cup of coffee that I made at home. Would you have that level of routine?
Say for example, if anyone who knows, say the road from Limerick to Cork, there's a place called Charleville, and on the left hand side going to Cork, there's a centre there. So I'll always pull in there, always get out of the car there for tea, even to walk around.
Yeah.
But like I was going through a phase there where I'd have a rasher and sausage sandwich. This is at 9 o'clock in the morning now, and then I could take a fresh cream eclair with me as well.
Oh, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, and then, like, say, you're eating out because you're in Cork every day then as well, and there's a great place to eat all around here. So you have to be careful. I have to be careful anyway. Because otherwise, there are shirts that will fit me in September and there are shirts that won't fit me in April, and I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, you mentioned, I had to stop. I was driving down to Fota this morning. I had to go to something in Fota, and I had to stop. I stopped in Urlingford for a stroll, and I stopped in Fermoy at the service station for a stroll. The reason I had to stop is because I've put my back out.
Yeah.
You're sitting here in studio. I'm standing. You've done this before as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I pinched a nerve before, but again, it happened to me 3 or 4 times, but it was all down to weight, right? Because whatever, say if I put on weight,
you're calling me fat.
No, I'm not calling you fat. I'm telling my own.
Think you are. Think you are.
Will you go away? You're like a lad. But like, say if I put on weight, it's also my belly was drawing my back then forward. Whatever was happening, then I pinched my nerve every now and then. It's the worst thing ever, because you're okay when you're lying down, but you can't get up. You can't put on your socks. You can't put on your pair of drawers even. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, you're just stuck there.
I know. The ignominy of asking your wife to put on your shoes and socks. I was wearing flip-flops at home for the last few days.
It's kind of in sickness and in health. Like, we're really testing that one out these
days.
Yeah,
the real romance comes out as you're sticking menstrual cramp heat patches onto your back while she's putting your shoes and socks on. You mentioned the Rose of Tralee. Yeah. There's a new venue this year.
Yeah, it's a new venue. Well, I suppose for people watching it at home, no, it'll be the Dome. So that'll be the same. So that won't change at all. For people at home, it'd be the lights, cameras and everything. But it's physically moving from, it was outside the Rose Hotel for the past, I'd say maybe 15 years. It was outside the Brandon Hotel before that. So now it's moving up to the new university they have there in Tralee. So I think, again, around 2,000 people will be going into the Dome, if you like. But really looking forward to it. Yeah, we've really missed it for the last 2 years. It's a big shot for the town of Tralee as well. It's worth between, I think it's 10 and 15 million to them. Yeah. So it's a big one. Like, because if you look at Kerry, like, say, you have Killarney and Dingle in South Kerry. Like, you have tourists going there all the time. So this is Tralee's time to shine as well. So that's what the Rose of Tralee would do for the town itself.
So any changes to the format? You know, because I suppose a 2-year hiatus gives you a chance maybe to reinvent it. Or is there a sense, well, you know, there's no point in reinventing the wheel.
Well, to see, that's it. Like, and say, you still have your 32 roses coming from all around. Like, say, a few years ago, there was a kind of a semi-final, if you like, where you had 60 rows but only 32 of them got there. So that was tough then, because, like, say, you have people who could be, say, the Kilkenny rows, and then the Kilkenny rows mightn't make it onto the TV part of it. So now, say, it'll be, you'll have a Kilkenny rows, say, for example, every 2 or every 3 years. So if you're the Kilkenny rows of that year, you will definitely be on TV, because I think that's part of the payoff, I suppose, for the thing as well. Like, you're there representing yourself, your family and your friends and your county as well. So that's all part of it.
I have to give a shout out to former Kilkenny rows who won it, Orla O'Shea, good friend of mine who I'm sure is listening.
She enjoys her time in Tralee now, Kieran. Oh, I tell you, I have pictures to prove it. Like,
all right, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe during the ad break. During the ad break, you'll have to show me a few of them. The criticism. Do you get sick of the criticism?
Sure, there's going to be criticism with everything. Do you know, there's going to be criticism with the show we do in the afternoon. There's a criticism if your car is done. Listen, people.
I know, criticism. Like, sorry, there's credit. Like, people text in 53106 to give out about the fact that I present the show every day. Present it. You get used to that.
Yeah.
And you get it. But there's kind of deep and meaningful conversations about the Rose of Tralee every year.
Yeah. It seems to happen every year, but like you just have to brush it off. I go down to Tralee to host one of the biggest shows during the summer, and I go down there, and my job is to get the best out of the Rose on the stage. That's it. Like I go into the Rose of Tralee with the mindset that I'm the least important person inside in the whole Dome. This is about the Rose on stage. It's about her, her achievements, what she's done. Her family will be in the audience. May have people watching in America, Australia, or wherever, and it's about them. So people having a shot at the Rose of Tralee, they can be having all the shots they want. Like, it just doesn't bother me.
So you like the adage about the referee. The best referee is the one you don't even notice on the pitch.
That's the thing. And you have to treat it like that, because, again, it is about them. And, like, for me, it's an entertainment show as well. We have to, like, say, yeah, it has all the things that it stands for. But, like, we have to go down there and have a bit of fun as well on stage, because that's what it's about. Like,
And when does the preparation start for it? I don't mean losing the weight and giving up the chocolate eclairs in the centre outside Charleville.
See, I better draw a line on that one soon. But outside that, well, like say, we'll know, say, in the next couple of weeks now, say, I think we're meeting up in the middle of July. So we'll know all the roses because they're all being kind of selected as we speak these weekends. So in the middle of July, we'll have all 32. We'll know all 32. So you'll get to get, we'll get together with all the Irish-based roses at that stage. And then really, it is probably maybe around 10 days before the TV show, where we'll meet the international roses, hang out with them a lot. Like, my main job really is just to hang out with them and that they're comfortable with me, and I'm someone they can trust on a big stage with 2,000 people in the audience and could be up to a million people watching at home. So, like, say, yeah, so probably there's a good 10 days of sitting down, meeting people. And then, you like, the rehearsal days, then, like, say, I don't go through the chats with them. Just the points. You happy with this? This? Do you want to take anything in? Out? Okay, let's go. We'll keep it fresh for the night.
And, I mean, when you talk about all the work that you do and the commuting as well, are you a workaholic?
Probably. Yeah, I find it very, very hard to say no, even though, like, in the last 2 years now, before the pandemic, I'd been out a lot of weekends working. During the pandemic then, there was nothing happening, so I was at home, and I was delighted with that. So now if I'm working at the weekends, I'm very, very selective. But listen, I work for myself. I'm a sole trader. So if I start saying no to things, somebody could turn around and say, look, we'll get rid of the Kerry lad. Now what do I do then? So
yeah, it's
that
always
mindset,
the fear,
though.
But I think surely you're well established. There's enough grey in that head, Dahi, to suggest that you're well established. Come
well, do you know, sometimes you'd like to think so, and then other times then you go, geez, they could throw me out any second. But like, if they do, and they will at some stage, like, I will turn around and say, lads, I've had a great time here. Like, even if it's to finish tomorrow morning, I could say, do you know what, I've really, really enjoyed that. Good luck. Now, hopefully that won't happen for a long time, but if it does, like, I'm not one of these people who think, oh my God, I'm going to be here forever. Because I'm not, like, nobody's going to be there forever on a TV show or a radio show or anything. It's going to happen. So when you work for yourself, you kind of prepare, okay, they could pull the plug at moment, but you do the job so good that they can't. And that's the kind of mentality I have as well. Like, for example, like, I'd go down to the Rose and sleep with the mindset saying, right, lads, you can all follow me now. And I wouldn't be telling anyone less, but in my own head, I'm building myself up for that because you kind of need to.
Yeah.
And then you kind of believe, then you go away after, oh, geez, what did I say that for?
I this is going to get a little self-indulgent now. How do you find the drive, the commute?
Yeah,
I do a commute.
It's hard.
As well.
It's hard. Like, it is hard. To be fair now, and I'm not saying it because you're here. I'd have your show most evenings going home. I'd flick through the radio stations coming down the morning because there's a good chance we'd be covering some of those news stories. So you're kind of using it like that as well. But yeah, you'd have this time of year now. See, during the winter, the weather's bad. During the summer, there's every buck rake and tractor out in front of you. So there's no getting away from
it. Well, see, you're in the bad row. I have the motorway at least. Martin Cullen made sure a motorway was built without a toll bridge on it all the way to Waterford, which I benefit by. I have to say, I enjoy that when those everyone enjoys that stretch in the evening, but it's when you mention every buck rake in their tractor, I love looking into the fields,
yeah.
And I love that, particularly around August. I love to see where the harvest is coming in,
it's nice, But like I said, my young fella goes to bed around 8 o'clock, and I'm home at around 8 o'clock, so I'm always trying to get home before he's asleep.
That's
my main aim.
You're a better father than I am. I'd sit out in the car for 5 minutes and make sure they're asleep. Listen. Obviously, you're down to Cork, so every 4 days a week, you do a double show on a Thursday, isn't that right? We were talking earlier, Richard Quest, you know, from CNN.
Yeah.
People all think he's American. He's actually from Liverpool originally. Cork is tired and tatty and in need of a lick of paint.
Well, I tell you one thing, if he was out with us last night, no, he wouldn't be saying that.
he'd be tired and tatty.
He'd be tired and tatty. No, listen, the city's great. Like, I love the city. Like, they're a great place to eat. The pubs are good. You have kind of rural pubs inside in the city as well. Very, very like Galway like that. And I really, really like that. But for me, it's the people. I remember, say, 2 years ago, when Cork beat Kerry in the Munster semi-final, last minute goal, people will remember it, right? And this is the kind of the humour of say, the Cork humour that is just priceless. Corporation van coming down against me, clocks me, right? Doesn't even beep the horn, doesn't shout. And this is what he does. I'm not. That was it. He caught me. Like, you know, I just think that's the type of humour. And like, say, so you get that all around this great city here in Cork.
Yeah, it's a brilliant city. What I always loved about Cork, and I went to college here, it's so small.
Yeah.
So you walk around the city. And some of the development, for people who haven't been here long, when you come in under Kent Station there, it looks absolutely fabulous.
It's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you can even see more buildings coming in, say, as the boats will be coming down there as well. Like, when that's all developed, like, you're talking unbelievable stuff.
Well, listen, I think, given the heat in the studio, I don't think you're going to have to go on that diet. We both sweated out about a stone.
That's why I wore a dark shirt
in the last conversation. Listen, Dahi, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Kieran, thank you very much.
Listen, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.